Amen. 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 Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you that we can come together and worship you. Thank you that you speak to us and care for us, and Lord, beyond anything we can imagine. So I pray you just open the word up to us this morning. We could have an understanding of you and just touch your hearts in a special way to be open to you. Lord, to have a better walk with you and just a better confidence in you, and so alert at the things you do around us. I pray you anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, Lord, and everyone's heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we thank you for our time together. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Amen. We'll be looking at Hebrews, starting off Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And the title of the message here is So Many Witnesses. So Many Witnesses. Now, I think to these witnesses, we can add the couple that Mike said that he and Susan met. You know, they're witnesses. See, it's not stopping. You know, we have it here in Hebrews, so many witnesses. But there are so many witnesses that God, that's a witness to us, that we can have confidence also. So many witnesses. So let's look here at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And for any of you, I think everybody's been here, but we're on chapter 12. We started in chapter 1. Okay. So went January. So we're all this is coming to, you know, one point of communication to us after all the theology he's been teaching us here. So let's look here at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It goes, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. All God's people said, amen. Amen. And what's interesting here, and I think it's real important, is these words. You know, the word here that's therefore, that word is really huge, okay, when you look at it. Therefore, it's a huge word because it's the therefore is there because of everything that was said before, okay? He says, I've told you these 11 chapters of things, okay? Specifically, I've told you about these people of faith. Therefore, if any of this is hitting, if you're grasping any of this, therefore. So it's a huge word, therefore. Therefore, because of this great cloud of witnesses in chapter 11, what Mike shared that he and Susan witnessed, because of this great cloud of witnesses, we see faith and understand faith. That's the message, okay? You're coming here, you know, as Linda's brother's a football coach, and he has saying, you know, I'll say something to him. He said, yeah, back at you, bounce this ball back to you. You know, he'll say, he said, bounce it back to you, you know. What the Lord has said, you know, he said, all right, you got this? Okay, I'm bouncing this ball to you. That's what the Lord's saying. I'm bouncing this ball to you. It's up to you to do with something with this now. See, this is what he's saying here. And it says, okay, you got this. Well, then you need to act on this. You need to act on this. And so what he's done up to this point, specifically chapter 11, you know, he says, okay, you see faith. I'm showing you. This is what it looks like. Chapter faith. So you know what it is. You see it. Now you understand it. Therefore, now we have motivation to make decisions to live by faith. See what he's saying? Therefore, okay, you got here. These people are really cool. You know, it is really cool about this couple, Mike and Susan. Man. No, it's no more than cool. Now, because of all these witnesses, therefore, you have motivation because you see what this faith looks like. You see it, and you understand it. Now you act on it. That's where it's coming to. That's where he's coming through chapter 12. he's kind of saying first 11 chapters will be nothing to you unless you do faith, unless you live by faith. First 11 chapters are nothing unless you do it. So this is the point. This is the point he's making here. Again, we have motivation. Amen? There's a reason. There's a reason we have motivation. Thus, because we're motivated by faith, because everything God has told us, thus we throw off everything that hinders faith. Make a decision. Throw it off. Whatever's hindering your faith, throw it off. What's the motivation? Chapters 1 through 11. All right? Therefore, throw off everything that hinders faith. Now listen to this. Everything that hinders faith. Things that hinder are not necessarily bad things. It's not bad stuff. It's not, just throw off, it hinders your faith, but it's not bad. It's just hindering your faith. Many things are not wrong in themselves, but they do interfere in keeping us from putting forth our best effort. See? What are you doing? I've got these things for you, but you're just doing a bunch of good stuff that's taking away from living by faith what I want you to do. See, you're kind of letting the good stuff in, okay? You're overtaking what I want to do with you, but you're letting the good stuff crowd you out. Well, this is bad. This isn't bad. Well, I know it's not bad, but it's hindering your walk with me. It's fogging up your walk with me. Not to pick on the younger crowd, okay? I'm an old man, so, you know, give it to that. Well, I'm going to stay all day in the basement and play video games. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a sin. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, maybe on the second day, maybe on the third day. Listen, brother, that's hindering your faith. You're not doing nothing. You're wrapped up in this, and it's a hindrance to you. It's a hindrance to you. And if you see that, we all may have different hindrances, you know. All of us are made different, so we have different hindrances. So it's not bad that you do these things, but are to a point that now it is hindering your faith. You cannot do or function the things of the Lord just because you're too busy. You don't have to raise your hand on this. How many of you are too busy? I'm just period. How many? And it's God's going, now that you need to make some decisions based on your walk with the Lord. See? And everybody is different. Everybody is different. See, I could say, I don't have that struggle with video games. I wouldn't stay in my basement because I'm 76 years old and never played a video game. So it's not quite a hindrance to me. It's like that. So it's really good, easy for me to be judgmental about you all. You know, no. I wouldn't even know how to set it up, turn it on, or what the gadgets are for. You know, so it's not a hindrance to me. But I have other hindrances. See, again, not bad thing. And it's like, no, I got to make decisions before the Lord. I have to make decisions based on my relationship with the Lord. Everybody, amen? And this is what it's saying. That's a hindrance. There's hindrances to our faith. Now, that interfere with our walk. And again, that's individual decisions. It's individual. It's not, don't be walking around and pointing fingers at people. Now, also, however, there are some things that are bad. They're just flat out bad, all right? And so hindrance is probably not bad, you know, in themselves. It's just you let them interfere with your walk. But also, there are things that are bad. Then what it says here, you see what it says here, They are things. They are sins that cripple. That's what the words I was looking for. They are bad things. They are sins that cripple. All right? It's like, no, you don't need to make excuse for them. No, they will cripple you. These things are going to hurt you. These other things that hinder your faith are not probably going to hurt you or bad for you. It's just things in life, and you go through life and you kind of have to make decisions, you know, like that. But no, there's things that hurt you. And I use the word cripple. I could use the word destroy, but I want to, you know, which is also true. But there are sins that cripple. And sins that cripple are active violations of God's truth. There's an active violation of God's truth. That's a sin before God, and they're crippling. Now, again, this all this stuff is personal. Hate it when people read something like that. Well, I'll tell what's hindering your life, or I'll tell you about your sin. No, it's individually speaking to us individually about our relationship with Him. Our relationship with Him. And so it's our active violation of God's truth that is really clear that it would be a sin. Now, here's something else. Also for each of us, you can see, you know, as we're reading this in chapter 12, you know, coming here, God's getting into our business. See, He's getting into our business right here. Hey, man, we're good with theology. It's theology. Praise Jesus. Now He gets into our business. Wait a minute. You know, I just want to mend. Put a verse on my refrigerator, memorize it, and work on the next verse. He said, no, I'm going to get in your business. This should be having an impact. God says, I'm going to get in your business here. And so what He also says here is implied that for each of us, you ready for this? For each of us, there is a particular sin which entangles us. Now, I'm not going to list them because I don't want to list mine. But just in your mind, list your sins. List the sins you're aware of. Not what your husband or wife's doing. No, list your sins. Just list things that you know in your heart you struggle with that are against God's truth. The things you struggle with personally, those are the sins that entangle you. And that's the word He uses here, entangle. By the way, it's interesting. I have no idea why. This is the only place in Scripture where this word is used. Isn't that funny? Interesting. There's a sin you're dealing with. There's a sin you're aware of that entangles you. Therefore, you need to stay way away. Way away. I always, you know, some people have a problem with alcoholism. You know, God, they shouldn't be evangelists for the local bars. They shouldn't, because that's a sin that entangles them. And maybe somebody else do that. Somebody else, not them. You know, they can't go there. They have to flee that. See, there's a particular sin that entangles us, and we, in a case like that, we have to be just like Joseph when he fled from Potiphar's wife. We must flee that sin that easily entangles us. Y'all with me? I told you He's getting in your business. Right now, He's getting in the business. He says, listen, this is why you're not doing what I want you to do. This is why you're not doing this. And so we need to be aware of those things. I was having a conversation with an individual, and they were talking about a particular sin. It wasn't a hindrance. It was a sin, you know, that they were having trouble dealing with. And this wasn't it, but I'm going to use it. The same thing, just so you get the point. And it was, this is not what it was, but I'm using this to make a point. It's a particular sin. And it was like he was an alcoholic and he was in a bar. And he's, I struggle. Every time I go there, I struggle. And I want victory over this sin. hey, brother, make like Joseph and flee Potiphar's wife. Don't, what you say? Don't go. See, there's 90% of, don't go and don't put yourself in that place, because that's something that easily entangles you. Therefore, you flee. Oh, man, I've fell again. What were you doing in there? What were you doing in there? When you was over here and made that decision to go, that's the issue right there when you made this, and I can't go there. Did you know there are certain places that certain of us can't go and other people around us can go? You see what I'm saying? Now, I could be a good witness at a bar, because I'd irritate everybody there as I drank my Coke. I mean, it's just not an issue. Yeah, and so it's like, there. The problem is I don't want to go or talk to them. But that's a different issue altogether. That's my sin. So I just being honest. Just being honest. See, you go, Wallace, don't go to this bar. Are you afraid you're going to get entangled? No, I just don't want to talk to him. It's like, okay. He got another sin. We got to work with Wallace. So he just, gosh, you know, we'll get somebody else. But you see what I'm saying? That he's telling us what he's doing. He says, for you to live this life of faith, you know, you flee from those sins. Your particular sin, specifically, you know, you flee from that. You don't go there. You don't go there, you know. And if you're consumed with all sorts of X, Y, Z that you don't have time for the Lord, well, then you need to make a management decision. That's all that is a management decision. I can't play video games 24/7. Okay, I'll pick 2 days. So you just make a management decision with hindrances. Sins, you flee. Okay, so we seeing this. It's, like I say, as God's getting into our business. Now he's saying this, when you think about what he's doing, and he's, again, what is he telling us to do? Live by faith. That's his point. He's not telling us to stay away from anything specific. He said, I want you to live by faith. So what he wants to do is we need to throw off these self-imposed obstacles. You know why we don't walk in faith? Because of self-imposed obstacles. Self-imposed hindrances, no management, you know, no man. Self-imposed obstacles, we know we shouldn't have gone there. We went. It's self-imposed. See, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, don't give the devil a foothold. Don't go there. You give him a foothold when you go there. See, so the process, he's trying to get our heads right. I want you to live by this faith that you're seeing, and so you can walk this way. Now, we persevere, so we see this and throw off these self-imposed obstacles. Now, this is what it says, now we run the race God has specifically laid out for us. Run the race. You know, I always say, you know, you talk to, run the race, do this, run the race for Jesus. Run. No, wait a minute. Throw off the obstacles, the self-imposed obstacles, and now you can run the race. See, he's telling us, he's lining this thing up. It's really interesting how he tells us. So, he has laid out a race for us. And the race he laid out for us, did you know it's a specific race for us? Now, we're with Jesus and we're supposed to walk with Jesus. But there is a specific race we are to run. You go, where's that race? Okay, you have a hint. Where are you? Where are you? You're on this track, run the race. Don't get on somebody else's track. Stay on your track. Run the race. Well, so-and-so's doing this. Well, good. I've talked to them. Not to you. I didn't tell them what I'm telling you. You run your race. You are gifted a certain way. You run your race, do your thing how I've gifted you. And he says what he has. Run the race marked out for you. Everybody run the race. That's not what he said. Run the race I marked out for you. Why am I here, did Jesus put you here? What race am I supposed to run? What's in front of your nose? You see? But I don't know what to do. Well, take a step, what's in front of your nose, and the crowd, oh my, there's another step. And then you take a, and then there's another step. We run over here and try to run somebody else's race, and we just run block and doors and irritate people, you know, because we're doing what God told somebody else to do and not what God told us to do. See? Amen? You see? Now, this is what the Lord's doing. Hadn't we had fun with the theology? I had some cool overheads. Didn't I have cool overheads? The tabernacle and fire from in heaven and all that stuff. It was just really fun. And he's going, okay, enough fun. I'm getting in your business. You got to do something with this. You got to do something. Getting in your business. And so what happens, how we got here, what we're getting here, we have to persevere. Now, this is all in this one verse. We have to persevere because we heard God and acting on what he told us. You know, I like being transparent with y'all. It irritates me for people to tell me to do something God told them. You see what I'm saying? God told me. What are you telling me for? You know? Well, usually it's because they want me to do what God told them. I know. If God told you, you know, then you do it. Don't tell me what God told you. If you want to say, hey, God spoke to me, I'm so excited. You be excited, but don't, you know, tell me to do what God told you. Now, as I share this, I'm being transparent with you, but you need in your own life to learn how to walk that way. You need to learn how to walk that way. See? So, and this is important that we hear God and do what he told us. All God's people said? Faith. What's faith? Hearing God and doing what he said. We spent a whole 2 chapters on that. Hear God. What is chapter 11? All these guys heard God, did what he said. So he's telling us, hear me and do what I said, what I told you. Now, this is definitely salvation, but then it's our life after salvation. We continue to move in that life after salvation. He continues to speak to us. And that's what all chapter 11, we see that, and that's what this verse is seeing. And only such an attitude of faith can sustain us during the adversities we will face throughout our life. Should I read that again? You're going to be faced, you are faced, you have been faced. Your kids are going to be faced with all sorts of adversities. All sorts. I mean, stuff's coming. Now, somebody, well, I never have any issue. You ain't saved. See, there's some things you just shouldn't tell me. Don't tell me you don't have any issues. You know, you ain't walking with Jesus. I swear, you're not. In fact, next week, come, we're going to prove you ain't walking with Jesus. You know, if you have no issues. You should love it next week. But you see what I'm saying? God is telling us here that when there's these adversities, these overwhelming adversities, you know, some people I've heard, I come to know Jesus and I have no problems. No, it says nothing about that in the scripture. Nothing is said that in the scripture at all. And you shouldn't pay attention to people who say that. So he's really giving us a lot. But there are adversities, and with these attitudes of hearing God do what he says, throwing off the obstacles, the sin, the stuff that hinder us, then we can walk in faith. We walk in faith, now we walk it, which is what? Hear God and do what he tells us. You see what I'm saying? It's just really clear how this looks. And so we have to have this attitude. to face the adversities we're going to face throughout our life. All God's people said. See, it's funny, when I talk to you about this and share this with you, what's easy about it in one way is you've all been through it already. You, nobody's going, golly, it never happened to me. No, you're going, I know. I've been in this, in and out. This happens all the time. God goes, yeah, but you've got the faith. You keep going. You've got the faith. You understand. Hear me, do what I say. I'm moving, you know. And so don't let the adversities discourage us. Sometimes the adversities are just so we can prove before others who He is and our confidence in Him. But they have to have adversities to prove that. It's like, now do everything and say, I don't know what to do. I mean, it's just overwhelming. Okay, God, I hear what you're saying, you know. Now what? We have a compass. Did you know you have a compass? I don't care what's facing you right now, you have a compass right now. And your compass is Jesus. It is. He's getting in your business. He's getting in your business, you know. Compass is Jesus. I don't have time for Jesus. And I got just all of this, and I got to help Jesus, and Jesus is confused, and, you know, it's like, no. No, that's not it. We have a compass, and our compass is Jesus. You know, I keep what the Lord has been keep telling me, and He has since I preached it. See, sometimes God shows me, I share you, and then God convicts me. And it's one that He just keeps speaking to me, and it's this. And if you remember, we looked at Isaiah 30:15, and He said this, Wallace, rest in quietness and trust that your strength. That's what that verse says to me. It's like, and then I have the same word y'all have. Your favorite word. When I say something, you go, but you don't know my situation. You don't know my wife. You don't know my husband. You don't know but. God says, no. Here it is. Rest. Rest in quietness and trust, for that's your strength. See, let me work. You're running in circles. He said, I mean, I can't, and all my angels can't keep up with you. Because you're just running around fixing stuff. You know? God can't catch us. You see what I'm saying? Now, this is what He's saying. So, He can't. He's getting in our business now. He says, listen, to have this make a difference. So, our compass is Jesus. Look at Hebrews 12:2. I put in parentheses there just to make a connection back with verse 1. Look at Hebrews 12:2. Run the race that He's fixed for us. He marked out a race for us. Run the race He marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus. In your problem right now, I'm going to ask you, don't answer me. In your problem right now, where are your eyes? We're all going to die. This will never work out. Jesus isn't here again. What does it say here? No, run away. You can do this. Chapters 1 through the, you can run the race. Fixing your eyes on Jesus. He makes it work. What He told me, Wallace, fix your eyes on Jesus. And then rest in quietness and trust, and that your strength is Jesus fixes it. And I thought, what's our favorite word? But, God, you can't be restful in this situation. It's too big. No. And besides, my wife's chewing my butt out daily if I don't get this fixed. Or my husband ain't doing nothing as usual. I can't get this fixed. Oh, okay. It's okay for you to do something different. Right? Now, Wallace, rest in quietness. Anybody say quietness? Look it up, Isaiah 30:15, great verse. Rest, quietness, and trust that your strength. While we're going, while you're looking at this, just show you I pay attention to my own messages. When I come to the next verse is Isaiah 30:18. You know what it says in 30:18? You know, 30:15 says rest, quietness, and trust. That is your strength. Then 30:18 and says, God desires to be gracious to you. So rest, quietness, trust, that's your strength, because God desires to be gracious to you and show himself strong. Now let me interpret that to you. Wallet, shut up and stand still and let somebody see me. They can't see me because of you. You're making such a ruckus, they can't see me because of you. Okay, back on the verse. Here we are. Run the race, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. All the faith comes from Jesus and our relationship with him, which God has been spending 11 chapters telling us about. So we understand it. We understand it, we just don't do it. See, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You think you got a bad job description? Look at what his job description was. Okay, Jesus, you can do this, man. Endure the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He got through the throne through the cross. Through the cross. See, Jesus is the perfecter of our faith. He brings to us, he brings us to his intended goal. How do we get our intended goal? To Jesus. I don't care if your husband doesn't do nothing. I don't care if your wife's griping. Doesn't make any difference. Jesus will bring you to the intended goal. So look at him. Look at him. Wallace, rest in quietness and trust. That's your strength. 18, I desire to do something gracious for you and to exalt myself. Did you know that, did you know that people can't see God because of us? That's what he's saying. Nobody can see me because of you. Because there's no quietness, there's no rest, there's no trust. And I'd really like to help you out here. Now, so he brings us to his intended goal. Now notice why I said his intended goal. We must keep looking away from this world and look to Jesus. Yeah, man. Of course. No, he really means it. We must keep looking away from this world and look to Jesus. Not only is Jesus the goal of our faith, he also demonstrates perfect faith. Demonstrates perfect faith. Now, I'm going to share something just because I learned it, just show you that I do learn something once in a while here. I've always looked at this verse and looked at, you say you set your eyes on Jesus and his glory in heaven and who he is, and that tricks your life and his work on the cross. But it says something else here. And when you read it closely, you see what it says. What is this whole section been about? Faith. So when he's talking about Jesus, in this section, he did all, but he's talking about Jesus' faith. Do you see that? Well, what does faith look like? Okay, let's just look at Jesus. Oh my God, I can't be like Jesus. Okay, look at these other 20 people I showed you in chapter 11. I'm just trying to show. They all had faith, and Jesus had faith, and he exhibited faith. What is faith? He heard God and did what he said. Jesus, you're going to the cross. All right. And his demonstration was faith. He showed us faith. Listen, I don't have an overhead, but you should write this down. With faith, Jesus had faith. That means he heard God and did what he says. John 5:30. Listen to this. Jesus said, "By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me." Jesus said, "I can do nothing by myself." Okay, how many of you are doing something by yourself? How many are you? Yeah, you're doing something to help Jesus out. You're doing something to make it work. You're doing the stuff to make this work. What did Jesus do? Nothing. He did nothing until he was told to do something. By myself, without God, I can do nothing. I judge only as I, what? Hear. Jesus heard God speak to him. And when he's talking in John, he's talking about his daily walk. He is continuing to hear. He can do nothing by himself, but he only hears what God says. And he goes, "I don't seek to please myself, but only him who sent me and to do what he says." There it is. There's the whole thing. We have Hebrews 1 through 11 and John 5:30. There's the whole thing. Everybody in unison say, "I know what you're saying, but he doesn't understand your problem, or I wouldn't be this miserable." But, I mean, is it fascinating? Totally fascinating. So we kind of should look at this. If Jesus can do nothing by himself, what are we about ourselves? We should be able to do nothing without Jesus. But we run around, you know, causing kind of an uproar where people can't see God. So, what we have here? Jesus did it right. What he's showing us here in chapter 12, Jesus did it right. He heard God and did what he said. Now listen to this. I'll finish this verse out. Now listen to this. With this about Jesus is looking at faith. Not that he is God and our Savior. Okay? Which he is. And we should look at. But this is not what this is saying. It's looking at faith. God, Jesus heard God and did what he said. This is faith. "For the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross." For the joy set before you, you endure your problem. Now, you don't endure it. You're going to chew out mama or chew out daddy, you know, in the wind join this. "I'm not going to enjoy nothing until he gets his act together. I'm not going to enjoy nothing until she gets her act together. I'm not going to enjoy anything until the kids get their act together. Oh, Lord Jesus, y'all are in trouble. You don't even know it yet. Oh, Lord." But you see what? But for the joy set, was the joy the cross? Was the joy the cross? No. He set a joy before him. Jesus, grab this, hold it. Jesus had joy because he saw beyond the cross. Come next week, next 2 weeks, he's going to unload on us. He's going to unload on us. And I give you a preview. And it said, the preview is that I want to discipline you so that you can take you to the other side. Love it, because I'm going to discipline you. I'm going to give you a cross, and I'm going to discipline you. And I want you to enjoy it, because I want you to see on the other side. Come next week. Fascinating. I mean, it's so fascinating. And then it says here, and this is a very interesting, Jesus had joy because he saw beyond the cross. It says, Jesus scorned the shame of the cross. I never could figure out what that was. It just, it doesn't make sense. Jesus scorned the shame of the cross. Well, when you look it up, scorning the shame literally means to regard it lightly. Regard it lightly. Seeing the joy of our forgiveness, Jesus thought little of the pain and shame involved in the cross. He saw our forgiveness. He's this cross ain't that bad. I'm not even worrying about it. You see what he did? He's no, this I'm not worrying about it. I'm not even thinking about it. It's not worth thinking about it. I'm not even concerned. Because the joy set before him of our forgiveness, he endured. See, you have to see past your cross. You have to see past your cross. And that's what Jesus did. He saw past the cross. Some people, Jesus, you know, was looking to the cross. No, he is looking past the cross. And he knew the cross was necessary to accomplish what he needed to accomplish. He regarded the cross lightly and didn't avoid it. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you what he's saying here. Discipline. Discipline. Things that come up. Things you have to work. How many of you, nobody raise your hand, are really better people today because of something you suffered in the past? You're just better people. See, you're better people. And God goes, yeah. And says, that's what you got to look at stuff. When you go through this discipline, you know, it's going to make you better people. And you look, I'm going to be a better person. I'm going to have a better insight. And I know this is a mechanism, my cross, and I go through because I can see on the other side. See, we should be, like he said, he regarded the cross lightly and didn't avoid it. All right, we should do the same thing with our discipline. That's the reason it says rejoice in your trials. Get out of here. No, you don't understand the whole picture. This is for you. See on the other side. I'm making you a better man. I'm making you a better woman. I'm making you to look like Jesus. Does that mean I can't just chew my husband's butt out day and night? Well, that kind of interferes with what I'm doing. Does that mean I can't complain about my wife? She never does what I'm wanting to. Well, you're kind of missing the point of what I'm doing with you. You see? But her. No, it's Jesus. And I'm doing something with you. With you. And he was the perfect tool to chip you into place and make you who I want you to be. She was the perfect tool to chip you in place to make you the perfect tool for me. God, I don't like your plan. I just will be happy. I don't want nobody mad at me. Especially Linda. See, God goes, ain't happening. Sorry, hon. But it ain't happening. Okay, look here. So, but we see God in this. No doubt there's things that work through. But you see what God is saying. He is, these first 11 chapters, we have wahoo. Now in 12, he's getting in her business. Make this work. This is what's doing. I'm going to see. I'm longing to exalt myself through you, you know. Soon as you can rest in quietness and trust, which is your strength, I can do it. But until then, you know, or as Hebrews says, you know, throw off everything that hinders you. Throw off all the sin. See, you do that. You throw off. I'll sit here and pray that the sin leaves me. No, get up, leave. I'll pray that I won't spend the next 8 hours here playing video games. I just pray some lightning will come down and get me out of here. It probably will be lightning. It'll be your mother or your wife or somebody. That will lightning will come down. But no, you make a decision. No, that's not why. So you just make a decision. So here we go. So So we see here that Jesus regarded lightly the cross and didn't avoid it because he could see the joy in our forgiveness. See, I'll do this. I can see on the other side. Now, plus, this is something else. Plus, as we saw in Hebrews 11:6, with perfect faith comes the belief that God rewards. Right? You know, I'm repeating myself. That message on 11:6 and this part of it, I really struggle with it. Because when I read it, it's like, I just trust in Jesus. We have a home in heaven and glory forever. You know? And I'm not so sure about the rewards here. Personal. You know, I don't know. It ain't working out just like I thought it was. So I'm struggling with some of the rewards here. And I read that verse, and I read this verse. He goes, Wallace, if you're struggling there, that means you don't have faith. Now, that really hurts me to tell you all that. You know, it's like, you know, I got to preach what you say. Not only that, I got to embrace that because I have a more understanding. That, no, there are rewards here. Lord's Prayer. Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. On earth. Really? Really? Yeah, really. Jesus said, pray this way. Pray this way. So it's like, okay. So you see here, we see there that with perfect faith comes a belief that God rewards. You walk in the faith. I know God's going to take care of me. I know God's going to provide. I know he's going to work. I know there's a reward. He said, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to do that. It's like, oh my goodness. Now, when Jesus, so here's Jesus, he's the example of perfect faith, right? So we're looking, he's in heaven, but no, he's the example of perfect faith. When Jesus completed his assignment, going through the cross, he received a reward and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. See, that was on the other side of the cross. He said, there's a reward. There's a reward. There's a reward for what we are, the faith we are living now. Here's what he's telling us. Brothers and sisters, we too should be looking to our reward. It changes us. We have faith if we can look to the reward. No rewards. You have a hard time with the faith. See? So we should be looking to our reward. It would go back to chapter 11. Verse 10 says, Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You gotta be kidding me. He said, no, I'm doing this. I'm doing this because I know. I'm looking. I have eyes to see a reality. God gave him eyes to see that God designed this city, and its whole foundation and builder is God. And then we got to know this, part of faith like Jesus had. Where Jesus is, we will go. A lot of us say, we won't stay here. He said, no, where Jesus is, we will go. Therefore, we should have our eyes set upon the things above. The Apostle Paul said, heaven is beyond our imagination. The Apostle John also gives us a peek into heaven. Listen to this. This is that mindset helps us to have faith and to be taught and go through and have faith and go through our cross here on earth. Look at Revelations 21, 22, and 23. The Apostle Paul says, you can't imagine this thing. You can't. The Apostle John says, I did not, he's seeing it, he's in heaven. He's going, wow. He said, I did not see a temple in the city. Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp is it, and the Lord and the Lamb is his lamp. Man, this ain't a bad place. This look, that's it. That's it. There's one verse in chapter 11 and said they didn't consider the world their home. See, they had an heavenly mindset, and beholding the majesty of God helps our faith. And we have so many witnesses. so many witnesses. Chapter 11, the couple that Mike and Susan shared about, same thing. Now, I'm going to share something. I know I have found the common denominator in my lack of faith. Who is this? Go ahead, I tell you all the time. What's the common name, common denominator in my lack of faith? It's me. Bounce that ball back to you. What's the common denominator in your lack of faith? It's you. And what God is saying here says you should have faith. There's no reason not to have it. What do you want me to do? Look at the witnesses. We're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Plus one that went to see Mike and Susan. I mean, what you got to do? You know? You have to be like Abraham. You hear God. You believe. He counts it as righteousness. He didn't go, but. It's thinner. You look at Sarah. She went, but. She went, wait a minute. I'm 85. She goes, I got a butt here. But, and if in that one section, it's kind of funny. It says, she laughed. She goes, oh, no, I didn't laugh. I just giggled. I didn't laugh. He goes, yeah, you did. You laughed. She goes, I'm sorry. I said, I'm sorry. It just kind of struck me funny. But then it talks about Sarah's faith. She believed him who enabled her what he told her. Same thing. So here we are. God's in our business. Next 2 weeks, we're going to talk about I'm going to train you up to do this. I just want to let you know why. He's doing it anyway, but he's going to tell us what he's doing so we know what he's doing. You know? Have faith, believe God, who rewards us. Have a heavenly mindset. Look at what Jesus said, and look at the overhead. This is what Jesus said. 14:1-3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Where he is, we're going. He goes, look at it. Look at it. Rest in quietness and trust. And that's your strength. That's your strength. I'm gracious to do mercy. I'm gracious to help you. I'm gracious to help you so I can exalt myself. Wouldn't it be fun? God wants to exalt himself to us. He's telling me, why is this rest and quietness? Trust. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We think this whole thing of Hebrews, it's kind of overwhelming. And you do, in this chapter 12, you do get in our business. Say, you know, there is a responsibility on our part. We do have a responsibility. And to trust you and walk with you. And we look at the responsibility. Whatever our situation, our responsibility is to rest in quietness. And trust, because that's our strength. God, we thank you for that. Thank you that our sins are forgiven. And you think about our sins forgiven. How are our sins forgiven? We rested in quietness, trusted the Lord Jesus that he did it. God, we give thanks to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.